involved, everyone.
Let's get dangerous.
This is all going to
work.
It feels so right.
With JCE. He's opening our minds to new ideas. Kill him!
Who is that guy?
Your mama.
You just made the list!
Oh, wait, you're serious. Let me laugh even harder.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is post-Memorial Day, all in football, so hopefully everybody enjoyed Memorial Day. Of course, always thoughts and prayers, remembering the people that gave their lives. Thank you for the free country that we have, and hopefully you enjoy the cookouts and stuff like that. We actually had some family. Nicole invited mine over. I'm like, the first time I've ever done a cookout in my place on Memorial Day, and I'm like, man, I'm a pathetic son. like my wife made me think, like, I actually have my family over. But hopefully everybody enjoyed theirs, and we're going to continue the talk that we started last week for fantasy football purposes about NFL OTAs. And does it matter? We ran through the list last week to start the show of how much it doesn't. I was going to put that tweet out again today. And even since, meaning we did the AFC, and since then we already have Aaron Rodgers' favorite wide receiver in the draft was Malachi Corley. His favorite in the draft over Marvin Harrison, over Malik Nabers. His favorite in the draft was Malachi Corley. In case you wondered how much OTA means, that's proof positive right there, Meany.
Yeah, that's jokes. I mean, nobody's taking that seriously. It's a vote of confidence, I guess, for Corley, who I do like as a player. And I am interested in taking a late-round flyer on him. We'll see what happens.
What happened.
He's a guy that's going to ride the draft boards.
You saw the 15-second slow-mo clip of his 2-yard screen pass, and you're like, man, I got to get that guy on my fantasy team.
Absolutely. The one thing I do like about him is there's a couple things, but I know we're being tongue-in-cheek here, but he should have a spot in the slot in this offense. And Mike, yeah, as the three, you know, Mike Williams has had some issues staying healthy, but yeah, this is why we're doing it. This is why we're doing this. I don't want to speak for you. I'm like almost 99% sure that you could do this with anyone. We could sit here and highlight 5 or 7 guys that are going to get buzz here in the next couple of months and they're going to rise up draft board. So it's a good exercise. And he's one of those guys because he's linked to Rodgers and everybody's obsessed.
Oh, of course. Oh, we actually have some in the NFC we're going to talk about today. But yeah, it's injury related on two facets. We need Aaron Rodgers to stay healthy and then we need Mike Williams to get hurt or Garrett Wilson. But like it's just kind of how it goes. But we're talking NFC, and let's start with the Dallas Cowboys because they actually do have some OTA news since the last time we've done this show that may be relevant because, again, for a reminder for anybody that maybe missed last week's show, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you, but in case you didn't come in and find out what it was about, is it's what OTA news would matter. Like, what if something happens, like we kind of joked last week, and you know, we're going to get to the Bears, but remember Jamar Chase dropping all those passes, and like we were talking about, like, you know, Marvin Harrison's dropping all these passes. Do we really care? No, we're not going to move the needle on him. Like, what kind of things will move the needle for us? So let's talk Dallas. Obviously, the backfield is a question mark, but if you turn the question around to Meany, would there be anything that you saw for this backfield that would actually move your needle? Like, Zeke looks slow. Zeke looks good. Is there anything where you would actually say, you know what, I'm going to move the needle? Or is it mostly the focus of what happened since we talked last, and that's Jalen Tolbert getting talked up by his teammate, Brandon Cooks, as potentially being the three? But again, we're talking about a three. I kind of feel like the Cowboys are just not going to be much affected by me personally for the OTAs.
Yeah, I thought something happened this morning with Tolbert because somebody sent me a trade offer in my Dynasty League, gave me 2/3 for Tolbert, who was just sitting on my taxi squad. I'm like, wait, did something happen to Cooks or CD here this morning?
They saw the news.
That offer's not good enough for me. Like, a third in a 16-team Dynasty League is, I'm not going to get anything, I don't think, too much better, a late third. So I would just wait it out. But no, I don't think there's anything here. Like, I am looking for somebody like that, maybe to step up in this offense and help Dak. But I think the biggest thing we may hear is throughout Dallas's OTAs and training camp from beat reporters is that Zeke looks a little slow and that Dallas should have done something in the draft and then it's too late. And maybe they do something. I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of like, does Tyler Allgeier get traded or something like that? Like, Atlanta decides to move on from him. Like I could see Dallas, I don't know, adding maybe something else. I don't know, some sort of veteran presence, but nothing can, there'd be nothing there. Rico looks good in camp ahead of Zeke.
What if you get those coinciding? What if you get Zeke looks slow, Dowdle looks good? Like what? Like yeah, would you?
It won't really move the needle for me. No, I don't think so. I think it'll create a better draft opportunity for Zeke. He's already going so cheap, anyways. I expect him to be the goal line back. As slow as he looks, he is going to be familiar with this offense, and he should be the lead. And the goal line touches are everything to me. Pollard was second in red zone rushing attempts. Those are going to Zeke this year.
I don't even have Zeke going for 900 rushing yards, but he still checks in as a top 25 back because of the rushing touchdown upside. That's really what it comes down to. Speaking of which, Derek, we talked about it last week, but I want to put an over-under on it. I'm going to throw out an over-under just for the fun of it. We didn't talk an actual number, but I'm going to 15 and a half, Manny. 15 and a half over-under Derrick Henry rushing touchdowns.
Derrick Henry? Oh, yeah. My goodness. Oh, man, I want to go over that. Yeah. I feel like 12 is a lock. You know what I mean? Like, I would lean to the over. I know it's a big, big time number, but we've said this all offseason. It's like the perfect landing spot for him. A team that runs the ball better than anyone. They want to run the ball. And Lamar doesn't run himself.
He never runs 200 times.
Gus Edwards was tied with Jalen Hurts for goal line rushing attempts inside the five. I think 12 of his 13 touchdowns or 11 of his 12 came inside the five. Like, think about that. You know, Henry's going to get those touches, and he's going to be more effective inside the 20 than Gus Edwards was.
Yeah, I think, and that's what we're all counting on. And then, of course, but you got to worry about injury. That 15 and a half feels, I just feel like that's a fun number. All right, let's talk your Eagles. There's nothing here, right? There's not a single report that, like, even if 3 weeks in a row, Barkley looks hesitant, maybe, or like not as explosive as we had hoped. They're like, how much would you need to hear about Barkley one way or the other where you would actually move? Like, there's nothing moving the needle for you, right? Like, am I crazy?
No, there's nothing. The only thing I think, and it doesn't even really relate to fantasy, the only thing people should be
Devontae Parker, you know, retired.
Yeah, Parker retired. just tuning in on how the offense is going to look with Kellen Moore. Like, it was very stale last year. It was very vanilla. There was no motion. Jalen looked hurt. Everybody said Jalen looked hurt. Apparently, he wasn't hurt. So I just want to see, you know, what they're drawing up in training camp with Saquon. Is he lining up wide? Is he catching some passes? Because we know he can catch. But right. I haven't seen too many completions to running backs in this offense over the past couple of years. Even Swift had a down year. He didn't get the ball a ton. So that's all I'm looking for. Even if they tell me like Saquon is just going to be like a 30, 35 catch back, it's not going to phase me from drafting him. There's nothing here. It's just a new OC, another OC for Jalen Hurts. I think it's like 5 in the last 7 years dating back to his college days. So just seeing how the offense is going to look like running some guys in motion. Cause it was, like I said, it was just too stale.
Okay. Well, let's see. I mean, we've kind of not, had a kind of not had a kind of not had a
you're speaking not, like a, me now
I know not a lot here where it's been so far through the NFC East, and this is why I started with them. Maybe I should have started with something more interesting versus than trying to fire these out, but not a lot in the NFC East that's really going to move the needle for us. So Washington, this one feels possible. We know Jaden Daniels, like the needle on Jaden Daniels, maybe we get, oh, he looks so terrible that we might have Marcus Mariota start the season. I could see that, and you push him down from like a fringe QB1, something like that. But I do think here, meaning we do have the running backs and the wide receivers could move the needle for us. Austin Eckler is not that old. I mean, he's getting to the point where you're like, yeah, in Dynasty, you think about it. But I have a feeling as of today, I'm going to have a lot of Austin Eckler. This is somebody that last year, ever since he got that first injury, was never right. He even said so himself on his podcast with a friend of ours, Matt Harmon. And Brian Robinson, really good. But I think if this is a 50-50 split, I'm going to want the pass catcher. Kind of similar to the Jalen Warren, Najee Harris situation. So before we even get to the wide receivers, are you with me in the fact that if we get Austin Eckler looks like 2022 Austin Eckler, that you would move the needle? Or are you too concerned that this is just going to be a split frustration and out altogether?
Yeah, it's kind of the latter for me. I'm doing a series at FTN is like a sleeper, a bust, and a bold prediction for every team. And it was really tough for me to identify a bust on Washington. I did pick Eckler, but there comes a point where if he's getting drafted as RB 35 to RB 45, he's certainly worth it, especially in a PPR league. You know, last year wasn't great for him. Injuries. He's never really been a between the tackles type runner. He's never had 1,000 yards, but he's such a playmaker, and he's a guy that ran for a lot of touchdowns. I mean, ran for sure. And even in those 2 years, he almost had 40 touchdowns. Like, he had more touchdowns than anybody over a 2 year span, like receiving and rushing. Is he going to get goal line work? I just don't really, I don't know. It's tough. I could move him around a little bit if Washington, you know, if Cliff is saying, Kingsbury is saying, oh man, we're really going to use Eckler in the red zone. He's,
I don't know, you're on a history. First game basis with him.
Cliff, ever since he had the picture of him in his house,
let me get Cliff on the phone here real quick.
Man, with that picture when he was leaning back, you know, like in his huge house with all those windows, it felt like we were on a first name basis there after that. But he does have a nose for the end zone, right? He's a guy that, you know, a rookie quarterback can lean on, especially in third down situations. They could ride the hot hand there. So I don't mind the price. I do think that Robinson's going to be the lead, and I think he's going to be the goal line back there. But
well, let me throw a toss up to you right now. If you're drafting Austin Eckler or your boy, I don't know if he's your boy anymore, but no. I say this because last year was frustrating coming off his injury, and willing to give him somewhat of a pass. But Sean Payton's pretty much talked up every single running back in the existence of the Denver Broncos right now, including the ones they drafted. They have like 7,000 running backs right now. So Javonte Williams or Austin Eckler?
Yeah, I would take Eckler. Yeah. Okay. I think you're onto something. I don't think Peyton cares for Javonte. I think he's a pretty good dynasty buy. I think he's going to be on a new team next year. But yeah, I'll lean Eckler there. It's just, we have to temper expectations. This is not the Chargers offense. It's a rookie quarterback. It's going to be a bottom 10 offense.
Well, the Chargers offense is not the Chargers offense anymore.
Good point. Fair. But yeah, for a running back that's going, I'm taking a look here, ADP, early ADP, he's going outside the top 35 there. And I think he makes for a pretty good flex. We know that the ceiling is probably not RB3 where he was drafted, but the ceiling is a high end RB2 still.
Okay. Then let's talk about the wide receivers for the Commanders, because you and I, we talked about winners as soon as the draft happened. And one of our winners was that there wasn't really a lot added to the Commanders wide receiver room, and they drafted Jaden Daniels. Very nice deep ball, a better thrower. We talked about the comparison, Justin Fields. So just kind of a brief recap right there. But John Dotson, that he's back. Whatever happened with him and Sam Howell, I don't know. He forgot that he existed. It's the cloak of invisibility. I made that joke. But all that being said, what if, so again, this is OTAs. What if in OTAs, Dotson's not on the same page with Daniels? There's just something off, and all of a sudden we get Luke McCaffrey's looking better, or hell, Jamison Crowder, or Ben Sinnott, and they're going to be running double tight end, 12 sets. Like, what if we just get continue talk that there's something off and there's a big open competition for the number two? Let's put it that way, is maybe the best thing to say that we could get out of OTAs. If you had that kind of news, would you be concerned about Dotson, or would you say, you know what, it's still OTAs. If I'm still looking at this depth chart, unless they surprise trade or sign somebody, you go down it. McCaffrey's nice as a third piece, but he's not really a two. So I'm still in on Dotson. Which way would you go with this?
Yeah, I think that I would just be patient here as the rookie quarterback. This is a big year for Dotson. He needs to show that he's involved in this offense. And again, it's not just on him. You just said it. This is games last year where he had zero targets, three targets in the first half and nothing in the second half. So I think that they have something in Dotson.
Sometimes in the first quarter.
I know. Sometimes he was drawn up. Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off in there, but no, wasn't good. There a game when there was like four or five in the first quarter, Eagles. One in the second, and then nothing for the entire second half?
It was the one game against the Eagles where I think he had three targets on the opening drive, another one later, and then nothing. I didn't even know if he was playing. And then, you know, he's on the field. And then after you're looking at the snap counts and the guys that are running routes, and he's right up there with Terry McLaurin, and he's just not involved. So I think they have something in him. And yeah, I could. I don't know if I'm going to move the needle too much. I mean, both of these guys are going outside wide receiver 65. How much are they going to rise? But if we do hear something, I think that Dotson has the potential to rise higher than McCaffrey. Like, if if he was really turning heads and there's a report, oh, it looks like Dotson's the wide receiver one in Washington, how high is he really going to rise? He's probably still going to live in the 50s, late 40s, which I still think is a pretty good value. It's almost where he went last year.
Dotson or Jacoby?
Dotson.
I thought that was a good toss up there for that one. Dotson or Lockett.
It's a good toss up. I think that I would probably go with Lockett, but I think JSN is here too.
We're going to talk about them. One more, and then Dotson or Xavier Worthy. Like, are we locking him in? Marquise Brown isn't dead. You know what? Funny enough, we're not talking about the AFC, but this happened since we did the last show. Two things happened. One is Patrick Mahomes himself said he was enjoying throwing deep to Marquise Brown. Second of all, I don't know if you saw, everybody, they didn't have lunch together. They went to a game together. It was Patrick Mahomes, Marquise Brown, and Travis Kelce sitting together. Yeah. Xavier Worthy not in attendance. Jokes aside, I mean, Marquise Brown over Dotson? Over Xavier Worthy? Like, is this a needle mover for you? If you listen to the last episode,
I like Marquise Brown over Worthy. I think, yeah, I mean, it's pretty close. Worthy's already dealing with an injury. He's struggled. I know we talked about catching passes, but he has struggled, you know, catching some passes.
There's nothing more that I hate to see is hamstring with dudes who are running 4.2s and 4.3s. And maybe that goes back to my Jose Reyes with the Mets days. And they just remember single year, like this, he tried a new running style. Actually, speaking of trying a new running style, let's talk. I didn't even put that in here as a segue, but let's talk about the NFC. Let's head to the North. We're going to do the NFC North. Green Bay Packers, Christian Watson, new running style, because apparently he was one leg dominant, which could lead to soft tissue injuries. I don't know if you saw this report. I thought this was super interesting. And the fact that Watson's been frustrating. This is 100% Watson is, he can't stay on the field. Like, can't run. Instead, it's all soft tissue. Does this move the needle for you? Like, does this make you say, you know what? If I knew he was 100% healthy, played 16 out of 17 games, just, you know, because of throwing a game for the fun of it. But 16 games, is he definitively the one for you in your mind? Because Jaden Reed had a somewhat breakthrough season-ish. Romeo Doubs still around. I mean, we're talking about, we saw Dontavian Wicks towards the end of the season, which was fun to see. And I like Wicks. I like Wicks this wide receiver room is terrific.
It is.
On paper. But if I told you 100% healthy, would you say Watson when hearing this news?
I don't think so. I would say that he has the highest ceiling of the bunch. Four in Dubs, Reed, and Wicks, who I agree with you, man. Like, Wicks, I think, is another, like, stash him, buy him in Dynasty. Nobody's talking about him. They're talking about the other guys in this offense and the two tight ends and Jacobs. I think that I really do like to hear this report, right? I mean, because he hasn't been able to stay on the field. So they're trying different things here for him to be able to stay on the field. It's a little strange that it's early on in your career. You have to develop some sort of new running pattern. I think that the ball is just going to get spread out evenly. I can't tell you who the one is going to be. Jaden Reed looked like the one in the second half of the season down the stretch. And then where was he in the two playoff games? He wasn't even really a factor. And like, if you have a true one in your team, you're throwing him the football in the playoffs, and Green Bay scored points. They just spread the ball around. They move it around beautifully. So I would say the one Packer that I want is Reed.
I was going to turn this around. I was going to say, are we doing it? Are we buying the cake, not the icing? Is that what this is?
Jordan Love is, the one wide receiver that I want.
You can trickle down to the tight ends, too, because I don't know. Is it once a week I click on the Bleacher Report app to pull, you know, like the news on my Houston Texans or something like that I might have missed? And then I'll see in the fantasy section, it's always like, is Musgrave or Kraft the one? And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't. Yeah. The answer is no. Like,
these ADPs: Reed 33, wide receiver 33, Watson 46, Dubs 53, Wicks 61, Musgrave tight end 17, outside pick 150.
So I would take 3 out of 4 of those. Do you know which wide receiver I wouldn't take?
Romeo.
I'd take 3 out of 4 of those. Dobbs, would be the one that I'm out on because he's right around where I would project him cost wise. Just because I think there's very limited upside. Like we talked about this last year. I think he's new Randall Cobb for this team, but this isn't Aaron Rodgers Randall Cobb where he was the two and he was getting red zone looks a lot. This is Romeo Doubs' nice number three Randall.
Yeah.
Like Randall Cobb from like 2 or 3 years ago, Randall Cobb. So
the one positive I'll say about him is he seems like most of his work is in the red zone. Like he does seem to get a fade or two a game from Jordan.
But is he going to catch 800 yards?
Exactly. Right. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. He's like a 45 catch guy, maybe a little bit more than that. And you just hope he scores 7 or 8 touchdowns. He's not a guy that can get 100 yards like those other wideouts that we mentioned on the team.
Okay. System. So we do also have something in the North, which is OTA excitement. If everybody was paying attention last week, there was one big name, and it was Jameson Williams is here, everybody. Jameson Williams is doing everything that's possible. He is catching the ball that he also threw himself on an option RPO play after he kicked the field goal and returned it for a touchdown. Like, everything possible, and he cured cancer. Jameson Williams is doing everything you could possibly think of. Just tongue-in-cheek aside, there has not been any player more talked up the past 2 weeks than Jameson Williams, coming from his coach, coming from his quarterback. And most importantly, what do we talk about after the draft, though, Meany? There was no real competition added for Jameson Williams. It's kind of similar to the backfield for the Browns and the fact that, like, ooh, you know, the team kind of seems like they're suggesting they think Nick Chubb might be okay by week one because they didn't really do much with the backfield. And not that Jerome Ford is like terrible. He's pretty good. He's above average, but it's not like, oh, he's backed up by Josh Jacobs, who we're going to talk about here in a minute. Actually, you know, we skipped right past Josh Jacobs. We'll come back to him. But anyway, are you in on Jameson Williams more than we already were? Because let's make that clear. This is a show that we were on Jameson Williams. I actually bought him in Dynasty. I have him as a potential keeper in another league, and we were already high on Jameson Williams. I think we both had him inside of our top 40, which is a lot to say for somebody who hasn't even shown up there yet. Are you even higher now? I mean, like, will you be one of the ones that says, I see this OTA news and I'm not going to be the low man. I'm going to push him into my top 30. Like, I'm not going to be, because I want to be in on Jameson.
I already have him inside my top 40. I don't know how much I can move him. I don't want to hear. I mean, I do want to hear these reports because I'm a fan and of him. And I expect to hear these reports. This is a good player. Right. He was drafted early in the first round a couple of years ago. It's just the injuries, the suspension. I'm not surprised to hear these reports, and we're just going to hear more. This is Jameson Williams is going to be one of the biggest offseason risers in fantasy football. I'm willing to put my stamp of approval on it, bet on it, whatever. Like, I really do feel that way.
Then let me
unless
turn
something
this.
Happens in injury wise. I'm in on him.
What's the breaking point for you?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like,
Where
I don't know, like,
so
I would rather have, let's see, like, what, like, how high could he go? Like, could he go?
Jordan Addison, another two in this division, who's actually playing with a rookie quarterback, Jordan Addison or Jameson Williams?
I might lean Williams, but that's the tier for me inside the 40s with him and Jordan Addison. I'd rather have him than Odunze, who's going wide receiver 37. I'd rather have him than Xavier Worthy, that's going wide receiver 35. Stephon Diggs, maybe we're getting into the cutoff there. Like, maybe I lean Stephon Diggs.
Pickens?
I'd still want Pickens as, like, the true one on the team.
Devonta Smith, your boy? Basically, Jameson Williams.
Justin Jefferson or Williams. I still want Devonta Smith. Like, that's wide receiver 2 territory. I think he's a solid wide receiver 3 with upside to be a 2. Like, he's going to still have boom or bust games. But you talked about it. Detroit let go of some players like Josh Reynolds, whatever. You don't think that's a big deal. He was used in the red zone. And the way that they used him in the last few games of the season, like, 4 catches, 7 targets, 47 yards, 5 catches, 43, 2 catches, 69. We know about the explosiveness into the playoffs, 4 for 35. The game against the Niners, he had 2 touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown for 42 yards, then he had a 25-yard touchdown. Like, I like this
the
offense.
The best thing about Jameson Williams is what Pat Mayo says all the time. He is the algorithm breaker for Vegas, is the under on catches and the over on yards.
The over on yards. 2 catches for 75 yards.
Yeah.
Man, that's the thing. He's going to be boom or bust. You said it when he entered the league, when he was drafted to Detroit. You had the comp DeSean Jackson. I totally agree with that. And I just think he makes for a perfect wide receiver three. You know, just how you go about your draft, you can still get yourself a running back or two wide receivers. If he's your third wide receiver, you can live with the highs that's and the lows of Jameis Williams.
And I think that's, yeah. So let me throw one more out. The number one for a team versus the number two, Terry McLaurin versus Jameson Williams.
I'm going to lean with Terry. Like, I don't think.
So we found our breaking point is like mid-20s.
Yeah, it is. It's like those names that you gave me are solid wide receiver twos that we expect to get 1,000 yards. We've seen them get 1,000 yards and a ton of catches. Like, Jameson could be just a 45 catch guy in 850 yards, but he can get 7 or 8 touchdowns. I think to your point, the breaking point is after these strong wide receiver twos, draft him as a wide receiver three. And if he's your third wide out, great. If he's your second, you might get yourself into trouble.
Okay, I wanted to come back real quick because there was a little bit already on Josh Jacobs. But the bigger thing is he was one of the more valuable pieces in fantasy because of volume. There were some concerns of inefficiencies, but new team. If you get a similar Zeke conversation happening this OTA season and you get Josh Jacobs doesn't look explosive, Josh Jacobs, you know, he's fine, but he's not like, are you going to move him down? Or are you kind of like, I find it hard to put too much weight into quote unquote explosiveness for running backs because, I mean, we've seen the highlights. They carry the ball, they get to their point at the line where they're supposed to hit the hole, and they pretty much pull up because that's what, like, running back OTAs are a completely different ball game than wide receiver tight end. Like, everybody, like, they're on a whole nother play. It's like, hit the run and hit your play, you're done. Like, that. I don't put too much weight into it.
I agree. Yeah. Nothing will move the need. Nothing. I like Jacobs. I think he's going to be the lead. They can get out of the contract next year if they want, if Lloyd looks phenomenal and they decide to do that. But Jacobs should get all the touches that he can handle. I really do believe that. He's moved now to like RB11. You know, ETN's moved ahead of him. I would rather have Jacobs. I think he's a good target.
ETN and his lessened workload after we talked about that last week.
I mean, ADP of 42, you could start your draft with a CMC. If you are early and you're a big running back guy, you can get yourself a bell cow early, go wide receiver, and still get Jacobs. Like, Jacobs is sitting there in the third round, and whether you want him to be your RB1, RB2, I think he's a really good target.
I agree with you. All right, then we should have started with the AFC. We should have started in the North because this is like every team. Chicago already has some reports, but there's twofold here. We're not going to talk running backs, but this is one where we are going to. We're going to start with Caleb Williams. We already have it already, meaning it's already happening. The number one pick, making mistakes. His throws look off, not on the same page, not adjusting well. Does this mean anything to you?
No, his number one pick. There's going to be some highs and some lows, right? Everyone's going to expect him to have like a perfect season like CJ Stroud, but there's going to be growing pains.
Well, let's be clear. I don't know why I have to like go through puberty to say that.
Excited there.
CJ Stroud had some off games, and there were some frequent ones mixed in there earlier with like that stretch. Sure. It was like kind of like the two-third point of the season or like second fourth of the season, like it's kind of in that rate. But anyway, there were some down weeks. It wasn't like Stroud was 1 through 17 like throwing 250 300 yards a game every single week.
Caleb's gonna be fine, right? He's got all those weapons. I'm sure there's gonna be some nerves, like that kind of plays into it as well. You want to see him progress. Like, fast forward 6-7 weeks, if he's still missing targets and looking awful out there, then I guess there's some reasons to be concerned.
Past
but
OTAs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it was Atlanta fun. Was a meh game, 1 touchdown, 249. New Orleans was arguably his worst game of the season, the 199 yards, 2 touchdowns he had, but he had the interception on top of it. 140, 0 touchdowns at Carolina. Like, that 3-week stretch was kind of. And then he had that Jets game, which was miserable late in the season.
Where he came on strong was like a real life thing more than a fantasy thing. Is like, oh my goodness, this is fourth quarter comeback again from CJ Stroud. And that's kind of where he really took off as a player.
If you look at it, he had one 3-game stretch of hitting 20 plus fantasy points. And that was weeks 2 through 4. Indy, Jacksonville, and Pittsburgh. Then he went 39 with a 5-touchdown game, but that was sandwiched by 12.9 and 19. Not that 19's terrible, but the 30 game was sandwiched by 15 and 16. And then the 20 and 20, that was actually week 18 in the wild card. So hindsight, CJ Stroud doesn't look as good as he did. He's one of those examples of look at the game by game versus the entire season. Like, because two numbers look quite different. I think that's, we talked about that last week. I think as much as Texans, go Texans, like, excited as we are on this show, real life too, I think we are both not, I would be shocked if you or I, meaning, came out of any draft with CJ Stroud at this point.
Like, I agree. I won't have him. I did some dynasty startup super flex where I had him. It's like, ah, cool. Maybe I'll have one share of him. I won't have him going as wide quarterback five.
If you are not fielding offers in dynasty for CJ Stroud right now, especially in super flex, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, you gotta field some offers. And the thing, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he took a step back. Like, everybody is expecting him to take a step forward, and I get that. That step forward may not happen till year three. Sometimes there is an adjustment period as a sophomore. You hear this term sophomore slump all the time. It's not particularly on the player. It's the adjustments that the opposing team is making on that player, and then it's up for that player to make the adjustments in year three. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust and have a dud season, but let's not say that this guy is already going to be a 40 touchdown and 5-10 interception quarterback in year two. Like, he still has a lot to learn in the league. Yeah. Everyone's going to hate me for that. Whatever.
100%. So let's talk about the running backs, because we have multiple options back here. And I think a lot of people would just say, Swift, no problem. But is it? And so I'm going to kind of turn this as like, is there something? I'm just going to open this up, like, open door question for you here. Is there anything from reports for the running backs that would make you move the needle? There's a clear number two. This one's falling off, might be fielding trade offers, which probably means nothing at this point because we know how the NFL values the running backs. But is there anything where you would change your ranking, opinion, projections, anything on the backfield for the Bears?
Well, I'm out on Swift. I think it's too high of a price for Swift coming off his arguably his best season ever and still finished.
What is his price?
RB23, right, which I think is fair. I think it's fine.
I think that's about fair.
That's where he finished last year on a good offensive line.
Yeah, which is why it's fair. Right? But just
that's like, exactly. It's like, well, you're drafting him, you expect him just to kind of finish around there. I don't think like he can be much higher, especially with two other running backs on the squad. The thing that I'm interested in is because Herbert and Roshan are, nobody wants him at the moment. They're like RB60. So one of those guys I think could hit. Who could it be? Who could the guy be? So I think I'm leaning Roshan as the younger back, as maybe he's the guy that can be the third down back in the offense, because we saw it at times last year. Maybe he can steal some goal line touches away, because Swift wasn't effective last year. And it wasn't just because of the brotherly shove. He lost his red zone rushing attempt job in Detroit to Jamal Williams. So he's not that type of back. So I could move the needle a little bit on one of Herbert or Roshan looking good in camp. Somebody saying, hey, he's our two. Maybe he gets some goal line touches. Maybe he's the third down back. But I don't know. Would you? I know you're a Herbert guy, and I like Herbert as well as a talent. But I think one of those two guys, Jake, are towards the end of your draft just to get some depth. I know it's like your quote-unquote next man up. It seems like a mess, a three-headed monster. It's pretty much a mess. But
so
one of those two guys
where – I talk about this, and we talk about this. I don't want to say like you don't, but we talk about this when we were talking about finding those flyers late in drafts. You want to find the ones where, like, we talk about, like, what if blank goes down, and then what happens? Is it Derrick Henry goes down, and it's definitively Keaton Mitchell, who might not even be healthy? No, it's probably shared work. So you kind of have to go down, like, Travis Etienne gets hurt. There's one. Probably is, even though it's disappointing. Probably is Bigsby, probably getting most of the work. But if Zamir White goes down, it's going to be a hodgepodge. Like, so it's the difference in that. And as of today, it seems like if something happened to DeAndre Swift, it would just be a split with Herbert and Roshan, and we'd be trying to figure it out every single week and chasing our tails. Unless maybe there is some news. But I think this is one of the ones where I would also have to hear it from more than one beat reporter. Like, I didn't just like one person, like, you know, like, even from The Athletic, I'd just be like, yeah, okay. Sometimes, you know, our own opinions, it happens with beat reporters too. Like, We like players. They like players. They see things and they're like, ooh, this flashed to me. So be clear on that. I was laughing during your saying that because we're talking about a backfield and I realized we skipped right past. Like, I am so tired of the Giants that I actually skipped past them and then NFC East. Did you realize that? Like, I didn't notice at all. Didn't even touch on them. Like, the best thing was I was walking the dogs. Nicole and I were walking the dogs and I kind of have three levels of shirts. I have my good t-shirts, which are all in hangers. And then if they're in the kind of like, they're kind of cool, but they're not like, they're actually folded over because I don't mind those. And then I have like the third level, which is like the motor, like I use for working out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One of my Giants old t-shirts is something I used to work out now. So I was working out and we're walking and somebody was like, oh, you're a Giants fan. I'm like, not anymore. I was like, this shirt's actually trash. And we started talking about it. And so anyway, that's how far things have gone. Is there something? Forget Daniel Jones. Like Daniel Jones at this point, like, okay, cool. If Daniel Jones makes it 17 games, he's going to be fantasy relevant because of the rushing. Like we could joke about anything. You know, Malik Nabers, unless he's a bust, is going to be fine. Maybe something happens with Hyatt, the other wide receivers, the tight end situation. I mean, that's not stuff we're going to get too clear on OTAs just because there's so many moving parts. But the one thing that could happen is there something with the backfield. Is this one of those situations where Devin Singletary is kind of like, eh, you know, we never get that excited. Or like, he looks great. Maybe he looks like the Bills' Devin Singletary towards the end of that one season. Or also, there's a clear number two. Like, this is the one that is the two behind Devin Singletary. Could something like that move the needle for you? Or does it come back to what I have in my mind? I don't even care because it's the Giants. I don't care.
I don't know if I really care that much, but I think what you said is interesting. Like, who's the two? Maybe Tracy Jr. is a guy who is definitively the number two, or he looks like the best back. Like, that could move the needle a little bit, but again, he's not gonna rise up draft boards where he's going as a top 30 running back. Like, even Singletary is not going as a top 30 running back. So two things, like, Singletary looks really good in this offense. He looks like the clear number one. Maybe then it's like, okay, I'll take a shot on Singletary as my RB3 as like a flex play moving forward. Or like what I just said earlier about Tracy is like, yeah, this guy looks like he's already better than Singletary. The Giants are in trouble.
Okay. That's fair. I'll give you that one. Let's move to the South. Let's go. Minnesota. Is there anything? Like, there's really, like, Ty Chandler's the lead, but we know that. Like, Justin Jefferson's contract. You know, Jordan Addison's the two. JJ.
No, Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones will be the lead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Aaron Jones. Thank you for reminding me. Wow. I still, like, can't picture him in the Vikings jersey.
I know. It's going to be extremely weird. I think one of his first games is in Lambeau against Green Bay. That'll be an odd one for him.
Do you have Aaron? Would you take Aaron Jones or Josh Jacobs as of today?
I would take Jacobs. Yeah. I like Jones really impressed me down the stretch of last season. Yeah, I think so too. I think they're a lot closer than ADP suggests. I don't want to put the injury label on Jones, but that's one thing that really pushes me away from him is that injuries have seemed to be an issue with him. And I never knew if he would get goal line work. He should get it. He should get that in Minnesota. Like, there should be no question that he should get the goal line work and the touches. I know. I would like him a whole lot more if Kirk Cousins was under center. I was like, man, this offense is going to be lethal again. So there may be some. Do they lean on him a little bit more with JJ McCarthy? Do the targets come down for Kirk Cousins? Is Addison
I guess there's the quick question we can get out of this. Are you going to move anybody like Addison? Obviously, Justin Jefferson is not going to be affected too much, but are you going to move Addison? Are you going to move the backfield if JJ McCarthy looks terrific or terrible? Like, would you move anything here?
I don't think so. Okay. I think that I'm interested to see how this offense is going to flow, and I just don't think we're going to get a true feel of it.
What if Sam Darnold looks terrific and JJ McCarthy looks terrible? Goodness.
That's actually something I expect to hear. As much as like the NFL world loves Sam Darnold, I expect to hear that Sam Darnold looks great with Justin.
Isn't it
Jefferson
crazy that the two best PR teams are now the same quarterback room in Sam Darnold and the JJ McCarthy?
Unbelievable, man. To win that quarterback job, really, like, it should be McCarthy, but maybe Sam Darnold does look good. Again, I believe in McConnell as a play caller. I don't know how this offense is going to play. Is it going to be up tempo? Is it going to be a lot of pass attempts? I don't feel like it's going to be all that similar to Kirk Cousins because of the quarterback play. But
no, of course,
I'm not affected for from Jefferson's fine. I'm seeing him go now is sometimes he's a wide receiver 5 or 6. I think it's pretty good if you get him. I think that's seventh.
Yeah,
seventh
we talked about that. Yeah, add him the second tier. Hill and Lamb still are the tier one for me, and then tier is very small tier one, and then tier two is that St. Brown, Jefferson, Chase. Might be about it.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that you would throw in there?
No, I think one is like Puka and AJ. And
AJ Brown, Ayuk, Collins. Yeah, that would be the next tier for me. And man, if I had Sam Darnold's PR team, I would have met Nicole a lot longer or earlier. It would have taken so long.
You were going on your 10th anniversary.
You know what? Quick sidebar, meaty. I wanted to ask you this. I forgot. I wanted to ask you this. Because there was like a revelation to me. I don't think there's like an official, like, I don't think anybody in a relationship that's been in a long relationship that sleeps in the same bed has gotten to the point where they're like, you know what? It's okay to fart in front of me. I think it just happens. Am I wrong? Did it just happen with you and D? Because it was like it happened to, like, you know, it's like one of those ones like, oh, I was bending over, I didn't see that one coming, or like whatever. And you kind of laugh about it. And then at some point, it's just all of a sudden like, I know you got to let it out. We all have to let it out, because if you keep it in, you start to feel sick. But it wasn't like Nicole and I sat there and went, you know what? At this point, it's okay to fart. It just kind of happens. Like, it just.
Yeah. I don't think you ever have a conversation about it. I don't know. I've never really had like a starting conversation. You're right. It just happens. It slips up, or you said bending down.
But then at some point, it just starts happening all the time because you're like, it's like, okay. And you never had the conversation though.
For one, you're married, you're locked in, so you feel a little bit more comfortable about letting them rip. And then, it just happens. It happens in bed. It happens in the car. Maybe it's silent. All of a sudden, you know, the
only rule, and we did say this, we never had the conversation of like, it's okay to do it. Like, it just happens now. It's not like we're farting like 17 times a day. But the only rule we ever made when we first met was like, just don't ever hotbox the other person. Like, just don't be that person. Or Dutch oven.
So
or like,
don't let it rip in the car and lock the windows.
Or don't do it in bed and pull up the covers. Like, then, you know,
pull up the covers. Yeah, for sure. No, it just happens. You get comfortable with each other.
And one day, all of a sudden, you fart in front of each other. Like, nobody talked about it.
And the other way around, like D would hide that. D probably hid that for the first 5 or 6 years of the relationship. And the last 5 or 6 have just been like, hey, listen, like, you got to let it go. You let it go. You don't have to go upstairs to do it. Where'd you go? Where'd you disappear to for the last 10 minutes?
As a guy, which is more uncomfortable? Farting? Like in the same bed, same car, same whatever, or peeing where it's audible. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, you're like in the same room and the bathroom's right there, and then you can just hear it if you're sitting there next to, like, in the living room or something.
Probably the peeing.
See, I'm with you. Like, I think it's more uncomfortable. Like, you try to pee off to the side a little bit so it doesn't make as much noise.
It's turning. Yeah. You just make a mess.
All right. So anyway, back to actual things that matter. Fantasy football. Besides farting and peeing. Farting and peeing. That's what we talk about in all of football. By the way, as a reminder on that note, won't be here next week because I'll be peeing and farting on a cruise. It's our year trip. And then we'll be back the week after, back on Tuesdays. And then we have some changes coming in July. As I've mentioned before, we'll have some giveaways, all sorts of stuff. So stay tuned. Stick with us through all that. If you stayed with us through the farts and the peeing, you're staying with us for the long term, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. You'll be here the whole year.
the AFC, and I can't even talk anymore. NFC South. Is there anything on the Buccaneers? Maybe Bucky Irving's taking all the passing downs, and that's a concern for Rashad White? Like,
I'd like to hear that.
But would that move the needle for you? In a bad way?
Maybe in a bad way, but I don't think I'm going to fully buy in. Although, like, Dave Canales is gone, so maybe a new regime wants to lighten the workload a little bit on Rashad White, but I don't think so. Like, that's the only thing, is like a new OC, right? So Baker looked good last year. Evans, Godwin, I'm in on buying low on him. I don't know if this would move the needle for me. I don't know if it would for you. I don't think that like a wide receiver three could step up in this offense. I like Kate Otten. I hear the report Kate Otten looks like a breakout tight end. Like, I think I saw a report yesterday that Kate Otten looks like the starting tight end. I was like, what the hell is this report? Did they not watch last year? Like, he was starting tight end.
He was.
He was great in the playoffs against the Eagles. Like, they couldn't even stop this guy. But like, what is it? McMillan? Like, could he pass Palmer? Like, how do they feel about Palmer if they spent a day two pick on another wide receiver that they can put in, you know, the slot? I think he's a fast forward a year, he's taken Chris Godwin's role if Godwin's not on the team. But I just don't think that much can be said to move the needle for me.
I agree. I don't think there's really much of anything outside, like just the Bucky area dominating the passing game.
Yeah.
A little bit of concern with Rashad White because he was inefficient in the run game. So the Saints, is there anything here? The number two, maybe somebody's pushing ahead between somebody's challenging or pushing in Shaheed, like A.T. Perry. They drafted Bub Means. Alvin Kamara looks like Alvin Kamara. Like, I mean, Kendra Miller, like, passes Jamal Williams. Like, is there something with the Bills, something with the Saints that would make you go, yeah, this is interesting?
Yeah, I'd like to see somebody step up as the two. I don't think that Shaheed is, like, he's an explosive wide receiver, but I don't know if he's going to dominate targets as the two. Like, it can't just be all Chris Olave.
What if he is? What if he is dominating as the two?
If he is dominating as the two, then yeah, I could see myself taking a shot on him as like my wide receiver four, maybe four. Maybe he gets into that four range. I don't know if I'm too comfortable. I feel really, really weird even saying that. But he is explosive and somebody has to step up, right? Perry, Bub Means is a hell of a name. We'll see if he can step up inside the offense. Kendra Miller is probably the guy for me. I'm looking forward to seeing Kendra Miller, right? He got a little bit of buzz this time last year. There's no Kamara to start the season. He didn't really show us a whole lot. A couple highlight reel plays, that's it. But nobody else really showed us a whole lot either. Like Jamal Williams didn't show us anything. And Kamara doesn't. I don't know if
zero touchdowns until Jameis Winston went rogue instead of getting him.
Wasn't that the final game of the season?
Yeah.
Like he scored a touchdown or something. Kamara doesn't.
Final play on offense.
Final play. Kamara looks like a little slower. It doesn't seem to be breaking away as much. I don't want to say that he was better suited in like he had his best years, I think, when Mark Ingram was there, and it was a nice 1-2 punch. But Kendra Miller is the only guy. I want to see if he looks good. I think he's a good buy low in dynasty. Like Zamir White this time last year. If you bought Zamir White, you're loving it right now. You could see Kendra in a year or two take over the backfield.
So what started this whole thing for me is watching the upteen billion Kyle Pitts highlights. Like we didn't know that Kyle Pitts was an athletic freak and somebody that should probably be a wide receiver, but is a tight, like, and oh, by the way, historic rookie season for a tight end. Like, we knew this. Like, what were we gonna say? Like, shocker, Kirk Cousins now the quarterback. We care again. So that being said, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kirk Cousins, like, is Falcons camp. I don't even really care. Like, do your thing, Falcons. I know what to expect here.
Yep, same. You just want to have Kirk stay healthy because if something happens to him, we're in a mess again. Imagine we have Drake London. You draft Drake London as your wide receiver 10. You draft Kyle Pitts as your tight end 6 here. Probably going to jump up to 4. I could see him going as tight end 4 or 5 off the board easily. Then you're stuck with these guys. If there's no Kirk Cousins, it'd just be all over it again. But now there's nothing here. Mooney catching passes deep. Don't really care. Cool. Yeah. All good.
Okay. Then let's talk about. So I wrote an article over at The Athletic. It was the top 5 quarterback rooms that have improved, quarterback situations, I should say, because some of that included coaching changes, some of that included offensive line help. And again, Caleb Williams is not in there because I said quarterback situations. Caleb can't improve from last year. He wasn't there. Yes. So because somebody pointed out, like, the Bears situation got better. It's like, true. I mean, you're not wrong, but this is specifically from last year. Number 1 and number 2. One was one we talked about last week, Will Levis. He was number 2. Number 1 for me was Bryce Young. I don't think any QB situation got better on paper than Bryce Young's. That being said, is there anything that we're going to hear or see from OTAs which is going to make you feel better about Bryce Young? Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with Bryce Young. Maybe it has to do with Jonathan Brooks, that like there's a chance that he could actually be healthy enough to be a significant factor from day one, that Leggett looks great. Adam Thielen looks slow. Adam Thielen looks good. Maybe it doesn't even matter about Leggett. What could happen with the Carolina Panthers OTAs that would make you do what you're doing right now? If people aren't watching, you just raise your eyebrow. What could make you raise your eyebrow from the Panthers OTAs?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. I think Bryce Young is the biggest winner in fantasy. Adam is a top 5 winner, and I included running backs and wide receivers. I think him and Will Levis are the biggest winners in the offseason. Things can't get worse for Bryce Young. The play calling was brutal. Now they got some separators, right? That's all they drafted is skilled players, whether they should have or not. That's all they did. They had to help out their franchise quarterback. So hearing things
and offensive line health and Dave Kanellis, who just talked about resurrected Baker Mayfield's career.
And
by the way, Yeah, thank you. I was going to bring up Geno Smith too, and he's got Idzik from, and he's been with him since I think 2019. Because I put that in the article. I think it was 2019. I'm trying to picture if I wrote a 19 or an 18. I think it's 2019. But the point, like, there's a lot on paper that, like, if the Panthers are going to make sure that they didn't blow on this pick,
right?
They're doing everything they possibly can to make it
happen. Exactly. They are. And I do respect that. Hey, you're all in. You made that pick. You can't go back in time and take CJ Stroud now. Let's try to find a way to make this work. I like Canales as a play caller, right? We talked about him at length, talked about him last year. Yeah, Geno Smith had, what was it, year 8, year 9? This guy had a Pro Bowl nod. I know Pro Bowl's like, ha, 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 but he did have a nomination. He kind of deserved it. He had a good season.
Yeah.
And then last year, Baker. So, yeah, I think that what could move the needle for me is you mentioned Brooks. That sticks with me. Is Brooks healthy, right, coming off the ACL injury? He only played 11 games last year with Texas. So, is he healthy? All signs point to him being ready to go. Week 1 being a factor. If he's healthy and ready to go, like, he's already the best back in the room. It could come quicker. I don't love the price right now as like a top 35 running back in some drafts I'm seeing. That's seems pretty steep. He's a guy I'd say be patient. You referenced Cam Akers and Javonte Williams rookie seasons where he could be a difference maker for you down the stretch, whether that's a consolation bracket or a championship bracket. We'd rather it be a championship bracket. But I want to see... Is Leggett's on the field all the time. We know that Deontay's on the field as one of the better separators. So Leggett, the clear two. How about Sanders? I don't know. Like, he's just a tight end, and he's probably not going to move the needle in a single tight end quarterback league. But is he on the field already and building a rapport with Bryce Young? And I'm not ready to close the book on Mingo, but if I hear, like, it could be it's an important camp for him. Like, if he's,
I mean, best case scenario right now, he's offense, the 3.
Yeah, that like, seems like best case. So, three, if there's anything positive about him, maybe he's a decent late round flyer. But if it's like, hey, you know, Deontay and Xavier and Thielen are looking pretty good in this offense, then it's like, oh, well, it seems like the guy that's just not going to be a factor at all in year 2.
So I wish Bryce ran a little bit more. Like that's I would be so much more in on Bryce Young in fantasy if he just ran more. That I think that's the problem, is that, like, even if he takes an enormous, I mean, massive, last year was a miserable season, massive step forward and gets 3,800 yards and 21 touchdowns, he's probably still not going to be top 15 because he's just not going to run much. Like, 2 or 3
quarterback 28 right now. And I think it's a decent flyer as your third in a super flex, but when are you ever going to really feel great about playing him?
No, that's the thing. Is like, even, I mean, you could say he has a higher ceiling than Derek Carr. No problem. But I mean, how much more? Because again, they're not going to, he's running a little bit more. Like, Geno Smith, I'd still probably just take Geno. Like, and I want to take Bryce. And I believe that Bryce Young is better than what we just saw, but it's just, I'm with you. All right. Well, speaking of Geno Smith, move on from the Seahawks. Nothing to see here. Like, we know the Seahawks. Like, we're going to get a report like, oh, Jackson Smith and Jigbo looks great again. Like, what a shock. But Tyler Lockett's still on this team. Like,
yeah, I know. That's the thing. Seahawks, like, how could you feel?
Legitimately, nothing's changed.
No, nothing. Maybe Charbonnet looks a little bit fresher. I don't know. But even still, Kenneth Walker's going to be the guy. So, yeah,
move
Seattle.
On. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see.
South Park. San Francisco 49ers. Same thing. Move along. Nothing to see here. Unless we get, like, hopefully what I'm, but I, why I say nothing's going to, because we're not going to get it in OTAs. I was going to say, I'm hoping that we get Isaac Grando pushes Elijah Mitchell for the number 2. I'm hoping. It might not even be Grando because it's the 49ers, but I think there's a chance for that. But we're not going to find that in OTAs. Like, we might get a report that he looks good, but we're not going to get anything like that for OTAs. So really, the 2, as we'll get out of here, because again, 49ers, nothing changes there. We know what to do with the 49ers, is Arizona and the Rams. The Rams, good timing. We actually had this happen towards the end of last week after we did the AFC show. The Kyren Williams, dealing with an injury, is not going to participate in OTAs. And Blake Corum is like, oh, look, the door kind of pushed open a little bit. Maybe I'll peek my head in over here. Also, following up the Kyren Williams report, I know you saw it, Meanie.
Yeah.
The Rams, from Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, are asking Blake Corum to be preparing himself for some 3-down work.
Yeah.
Holy crap, is that doesn't make your butthole tighten if you're Kyren Williams owner, because that's about as scary as you can get.
Yeah, these are the reports that matter.
Does this matter to you? Okay, so this matters.
these running back reports, like the third down stuff matters to me. I'd like to hear this. Like, where are they? How are they utilizing these running backs, especially rookies or other running backs that they bring in through free agency or trade? Like, what? That's how you can identify their role. Like, Kyren Williams is a guy we talked about who got all the touches, all of the touches, all of the catches. He was right there in terms of opportunities with CMC. Now they bring in another back who Harbaugh talked, I mean, talked up everybody in his offense last year, but he talked him up to a point where he's just not like a, you know, a touchdown machine or a short yardage back. We put him in situations where we were passing for him to pass block. So he had that kind of role last year, and LA must have saw it. They want to ease off Kyren because he got hurt last year and he's already hurt this year. So this does matter. I don't know how effective he will be in that role. I know he can catch and I know he's hard to tackle, but can he protect Matthew Stafford? It remains to be seen. I'm a little skeptical on that, but this is an important report, and I do believe in those kind of reports for running backs.
If you're drafting as of today, let's do it.
I'd probably pass on Kyren.
Oh, I was just about to say, like, I mean, hey, we're about to, where is it? Okay, it's over here. They're still on video, so we can do it. We're making a list! Nice. Because we have to find out. I sat here on this very show during nonsense season of February, March, and said, what the hell is going on that Kyren Williams is sliding down the ADP draft board? Because legit nothing has happened to change what we just saw. Things have changed now. Legitimately changed. So as of today, let's bring up the Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones. I think those are two good ones. Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Kyren Williams. Is he now Kyren Williams behind both of those for you?
He's behind Jacobs. He always was for me.
But in front of
Aaron,
I
mean,
Jones?
As of right now, drafting today, he's behind Aaron Jones. But I think when we get closer to the season, I will have him ahead of Aaron Jones. I don't know. The flip
if we
thing
know he's
100%. Does bother me
right
now.
Yeah. Kyren Williams or your boy, Isaiah Pacheco?
I'm going to go Pacheco.
Rashad White?
Yeah. I'm going to go White, too.
That sounded super hesitant.
It's tough. I love White as a player. He hasn't been efficient in 2 years, but all those touches. Like, I just believe that he's definitely getting those touches.
Oh, wait. Kyren Williams is healthy. Bucky Irving is the third down back.
Now you're putting in different factors. I would say Kyren Williams.
Okay. I just wondered. Joe Mixon, my boy, because he's on the Texans. Or Kyren Williams.
Because he's your boy. But I'll say something about Joe Mixon. I mean, this
we
guy's
did last week.
RB
we're gonna have
17.
So much. I know. We're gonna have so
you
much
kidding
Joe
me
Mixon
right
now?
Kyren's going as RB24 ahead of Derrick Henry, who is going as RB10.
That's
I don't know why that is happening. Like, what the hell is that all about? It just blows my mind. How is the fantasy community not bought into that? Like, I'm shocked when it happened. I just thought that people would be like, because you and I were like, oh my goodness, he's got top three upside in this offense. We just talked about 15 and a half touchdowns, but nobody has moved this guy. They are willing to keep him as RB10 and you can get him in the fourth round. It's bonkers to me. Maybe we're
draft
what's
now.
Wrong?
I don't know. Maybe we are. We'll find out. How about Kyren Williams or Travis Etienne?
I'm going to go with Kyren. I'm going to go with Kyren there.
Okay. So he's like fringe RB1 for you. All right.
Yeah.
So then
still hasn't moved a ton for us, but does Quorum bump up a little bit for you hearing this? Got him.
Oh, a lot more than a flight. Like he wasn't in the conversation with like the Trey Benson, but now he is.
Right. That's a good call. I wanted to ask you about that actually. Cause Benson I see dude's getting steam. He's getting drafted ahead of Connor.
I wouldn't do that. But
no, me neither.
Everybody knows this that James Conner is getting hurt. That's true. Would be insane if James Conner makes it through a full season this year. That's
be a top 10 running back. It'd be a top 12.
It would
be an RB1.
But this would be the year that would happen. But speaking of Trey Benson and James Conner, is there anything that you're going to get from OTAs that's going to matter to you? Because I feel like if we forced the issue, the only thing it could be is who's the number two? Like, is it Zay Jones, Michael Wilson, or Greg Dortch?
Yeah. That's it.
And
I want to
but would we even get that answer in OTAs? I guess is the
probably.
Real. I don't think we will. Yeah. Okay.
No. Yeah, I don't think we will either. It's going to have to be something in training camp. All the attention, of course, will be on Marvin Harrison Jr. Benson will get some buzz. Kyler, we know Kyler's is a couple years removed from like averaging 20, 23 fantasy points per game back to back seasons. Will he run? You know, all those things. He ran a little bit more in the last the first four games he was hesitant, of course. The last four games he ran a little bit more. But yeah, I'm in, overall, I want to see who the two is. I believe in Wilson. I think, you know, he's going to surpass, say, Jones, the veteran, and Dortch. Interested in McBride. Do you, as we get out of here, tight end three? That's a price to pay for Trey McBride.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be McBride on that.
Love the player. Think he's a really good player, but let's be honest about all the targets he racked up with nobody on the field.
I actually have him at four anyway.
Yeah.
Andrew, Kelsey, Andrews, Laporta, and then McBride, and then Kittle and Pitts. But like, I think that's saying that McBride, Kittle, Pitts, like that just going to be, unless it's Pitts right now is okay. But it's like that tier. It's that tier we talk about every single year.
Yeah. We've, it's all a tier, but you got to spend a top 35 pick on McBride. I don't think so.
Yeah. Not doing it. But I mean, it could pay off because he could easily be the two. Like, he could be the one. Like,
is he going to be the two? He probably will be the two.
110, 120 targets. I think that you can make argument that he deserves to be in that range. It just, it's tough to take that. But it's not tough next week because you get a vacation from me, because I'm going to be on vacation and I'm going on a cruise. Hopefully I don't get Montezuma's revenge to make like one other. Like, we've talked about pee, poop, and butthole, so we might as well talk about diarrhea, right? I'm getting canceled.
You were tired. Oh, poor Nicole.
I know. We'll be back in 2 weeks at Chris Meany. Hopefully I come back and the Rangers are on to the Stanley Cup Finals, or I'm going to come back salty. So, and not just from the water. So many jokes today. I'm out of here.
Peace.